Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss Hall of Fame players on their birthdays from South Carolina, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Alabama, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories. All this and more coming up in the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to your football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers for the April 6th edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. Before we get started with our Hall of Fame birthdays, let me tell you about a phone call I had the other day. I was talking to my stepmother, telling her that my wife and I just got our first shots of the COVID-19 vaccine, and she proceeded to tell me that her and my father were just completing their first shots of the COVID-19 vaccine as well. And she gave me some reasons. I was kind of surprised that my father, who's very reluctant to go to any kind of medical facility unless it's absolutely necessary, including, routine visits, he had gone down to the local grocery store at the pharmacy there and got them signed up for getting the shots done. And as he was sitting in line with my stepmother waiting to get their shots, he had told her that he had done it so he could attend football games in the fall. He feared that they would not let people without the vaccine attend football games, and that was the whole reason he was doing it. And we're talking the high school level. And she looked at him and said, "You mean the whole reason we're coming down here to get the shots? That's your whole main reasoning is not to protect yourself or not to travel or anything like that. It's so you can attend football games in the fall." And he said, "Yes." And he goes, "Yeah, I don't plan on going on vacation anywhere. I'm not getting in an airplane. I'm not getting in a boat. I'm not getting in a train. I don't go to stores, very often. I plan on doing it so I can attend football games. I don't want them preventing me from doing that." And that just tells you the perspective of what I was brought up into. And maybe that's some of the reasons the way I am. I'm, making podcasts on football every single day. But football is very important to our family. It just realizes how much it is to my patriarch of our family and where I sort of get some of my habits from that my wife may say are bad habits. I don't know if I consider them that way. But just an interesting story nonetheless. That's his main reason for getting it. Interesting dude, my dad. Let's get to your birthdays of your Hall of Famers for this April 6th. And our first one takes place in 1901 in Meridian, Mississippi. The awesome Alabama halfback / quarterback from 1922 to the 1925 season, Pooley Hubert, was born. We have told the story on January 1st, 1926 Rose Bowl a couple of times on our podcast here. It really focused on George Wildcat Wilson of Washington and Johnny Mack Brown of Bama. But the other important character in this game between Bama and Washington that put the Southern football on the map was Pooley Hubert. If you recollect, Alabama held on for an exciting 20-19 victory over the Huskies. That was Pooley's last collegiate game, and what an outstanding way to finish such a brilliant career in college, setting the standard for Alabama football for times to come, and actually all of the SEC and all Southern teams for times to come. For his career, Hubert scored 35 touchdowns, scoring at least 3 touchdowns in 6 different games in his career, and led the Tide to a 31-6-2 record with him in the backfield. The footballfoundation.org points out that his defensive prowess prompted Southern sports writers to herald him as the greatest defensive back ever to appear on Grant Field in Atlanta. His head coach, Wallace Wade, stated, "Pooley was the greatest team leader and playmaker that I ever saw coaching in my long career, and Hubert was an all-Southern selection in 1924 and 1925, and with J. Mack Brown, gave the 1925 Tide a pair of outstanding All-Americans in their backfield." Coach Wade also commented that Pooley was undoubtedly one of the greatest football players of all time. Big words. Pooley Hubert received the great honor of being selected for inclusion into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1964. April 6, 1934, Muskegon, Oklahoma. Aurelius Thomas, the two-way star guard linebacker of Ohio State University, arrived in his life. Thomas was not the largest interior lineman on the team, weighing in a smidge over 200 pounds, also making him undersized for his play in the middle of the defense of the Buckeyes. But Aurelius had great lateral foot speed, as well as excellent technique, proved to outmatch nearly all of his opponents he faced on both sides of the ball. Therefore, just after the 1957 ended, he was named as an All-American guard. In his bio on the NFF states that in his senior season 1957, he averaged 52 minutes a game in playing time, and he was always able to help maneuver opponents who were much bigger with those gifts of mobility and leverage. The National Football Foundation selected Aurelius Thomas for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989. Soon after he graduated, Thomas joined Coach Woody Hayes' staff and coached as an assistant on that Hayes staff at Ohio State for a year. And then Aurelius moved on to coach East High School in Columbus, Ohio for six seasons. His last team at East in 1964 had a brilliant 9-0 record there. April 6, 1944, Notre Dame's quarterback from 1962 to 1964's era, John Huert, celebrated his day of birth. Huert had an amazing collegiate story. His sophomore season was somewhat of an unmemorable, injury-plagued year for the signal caller. Therefore, he was used sparingly the next season in 1963. Then, in 1964, his football fortunes turned around, according to the Football Foundation, as the Irish hired their first-year coach, Ara Parseghian, and named Huert the starting quarterback going into that 1964 season. Parseghian's trust in Huert paid huge dividends, as Huert broke virtually every Notre Dame single-season passing record, won the Heisman Trophy, and led the Irish to an unbelievable 9-1 record. John Huert's collegiate football accomplishments and records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 2005. John ended up becoming a second-round pick by the AFL's New York Jets in 1965. Huert stayed in the pros as a backup quarterback with Boston, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Kansas City, and Chicago from 1965 to 1972. April 6, 1965, Chicago, Illinois. Sterling Sharp, the powerful wideout from the University of South Carolina from 1983 to 1987, he was born on that day. As a matter of fact, he is most likely the best receiver ever to come out of the Gamecock program. The NFF states that Sharp was a first-team All-America selection in 1987 and set a variety of USC records. Sterling's 74-game season receptions, 169 career catches, 1,106 receiving yards in 1 year, and the career receiving yards of 2,497 will all be a tall task for anybody to ever unseat. The high water marks Sterling accomplished were caught at least one reception in a record 34 consecutive games, as well as tallying 10 games of 100 yards plus in receiving, shows that the legendary status of how good he really was at South Carolina. The individual plays this man made are stories all to themselves, you know, such as the 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown against Duke in 1985 and many crucial catches that he made during the seasons he played there. Sterling Sharp was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in year 2014 after the National Football Foundation tallied their votes. The Green Bay Packers used the 7th overall pick in 1988's NFL draft to have Sharp join their franchise. In just 7 NFL seasons with the Pack, Sterling was a 5-time Pro Bowl selection and 3-time first-team All-Pro. Sharp led the NFL in receptions 3 times in the seasons of 1989 and then 1992 and 1993, as well as in receiving touchdowns in both 1992 and 1994, according to NFL.com. In just the Hall of Famer Brett Favre's first season with the Packers in 1992, Sharp led the NFL in receptions with 108. He had 1,461 receiving yards and 13 touchdown passes that were caught from that Favre to Sharp connection. We might just see the name added to his museum in Canton, Ohio someday to join his brother who's already there, Shannon Sharp. And we're sure glad that you were able to join us here once again for these football history headlines as we try to preserve football history every single day by noting, you know, these Hall of Fame birthdays like we did today and any anniversaries of football events in college, pro, or high school level football that we can pass on to you. We want to make sure we note those anniversaries too. And so just make sure you join us for the April 7th edition. That comes out at midnight on April 7th. And we post every night at midnight with a new podcast, a new blog post on pigskindispatch.com. And you can find us at your favorite podcast provider. And when you do, if you have the opportunity, you know, give us a follow on that. You can also follow us on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch, Facebook, Pigskin Dispatch. And you can go to the Our Sports History section of Reddit, and you'll see us post there almost every single day as well. You can also find us on the sportshistorynetwork.com, where we join about 20 different other podcast hosts of bringing you great sports history to remember, because remember, the Sports History Network is the headquarters of sports yesteryear, and we try to carry that flag along with them. And you can also go to our own website, pigskindispatch.com, and check out all of our great articles we have there and all of our podcasts. And if you want to see all the podcasts in one place, go to pigskindispatch.com/podcast. You'll see them all right there too. And we'll hope to see you tomorrow, and you enjoy having you listen with us and enjoy that football history. And so till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.